John Brierley, you could be described as the wise old man of the Camino.
Oh, I'd be very happy with that description.
Tell us about the phenomenon. How far back does it go? In your life, it goes back a quarter of a century, I believe. Mm-hmm. But in itself, it goes back how long?
Probably 3,000 or 4,000 years, sort of almost into the prehistory.
Because even before Santiago?
Absolutely. Because, oh, very much so. A great misperception about this. The Camino essentially follows an old route and a pattern that goes back to Finisterre. Finisterre, it was the end of the known world. That's where the physical world ended and where it met the world of spirit. So when the sun sank down behind the horizon, it went to Tir na n'Og, the land of eternal youth. So Finisterre was the most powerful place of spiritual connection and initiation in the whole world at that time. There at Finisterre was a huge spiritual center, a druidic center. So that's the reason why, almost certainly, I mean, there's so many legends. Of course, we're talking now the legendary preaching of Santiago, of St. James, after Christ was crucified. He took the Iberian Peninsula to graft the new message, Christ's message, onto, if you like, the pagan Iberian Peninsula. And like all the early church, they came to places of powerful existing worship to, if you like, graft on the new message. Comes to Finisterre, by all accounts, is very unsuccessful in his ministry, returns to Jerusalem, is beheaded, and his body is returned to be buried in the place where his ministry was, which was Finisterre. Was not allowed to be buried there by the lovely legends about the pagan queen who said, no, you can't be buried here. So they have to travel 3 days out and arrive at a place called Librodon, which was a Roman cemetery, and is buried there. And many years later, his body is refound, if you like, in the 8th century. And then it becomes, of course, renamed as Santiago, the place where his tomb is. But it wasn't Santiago when he was buried there. So this is very much pre-Christian. Then starts the period of the Christian pilgrimage to Santiago, tying in beautifully with the Reconquista of the Iberian Peninsula for the Christian cause from the Muslim caliphates, which were essentially over the whole of the peninsula by this stage. So it was the spearhead, his image. This is where you get the image of Santiago Matamoros, a rather unhelpful name, the slayer of the Moors, on a horse, white charger, spearheading that reconquest. When the pilgrimage to the Holy Land was lost, the Crusades were lost, all the pilgrims were diverted from Jerusalem and were rediverted in the 10th century to Santiago. That's where it became the phenomenal center. Literally hundreds of thousands, they reckon up to a quarter of a million pilgrims in the medieval period walked to Santiago. Unbelievable.
That's extraordinary. So today is a long way behind,
though
the numbers are very large.
Today is just about where it was in the medieval period. Yes.
And what was the Camino like when you encountered it?
Well, 20 years ago, you might be the only pilgrim on the route. It was literally that way. I mean, it depends on the time of year. It was very quiet, very contemplative, very reflective. The facilities weren't anything like they were today. You have to maybe walk extra space, a distance to get a place to sleep. But now the infrastructure, in the past 25 years, the numbers have increased from around about 10,000 to 200,000. So in the space of 10 years, they have gone up tenfold and tenfold again. So there's been this massive increase and surge in numbers.
Now you've been partly responsible for that with your two guidebooks. Perhaps you'd like to just show us those.
Well, the Camino de Santiago, the popular route that we know as the Camino Francés, or what most people refer to as the Camino de Santiago. This is the route that 90% of, 80% now of pilgrims arriving into Santiago walk this route. The second most popular route is now the Camino Portugués, which comes up through Portugal, from Lisbon all the way up to Santiago. And then there are many other routes coming through France. I was in Budapest last week for the...
In Hungary?
In Hungary, yes. There's a very powerful, strong Hungarian association who waymarked the route all the way from Budapest, all the way through Hungary into Austria, all the way through Austria, Switzerland, all the way through Switzerland, France. Waymarked, accommodation, all en route. These routes spread all through Europe. Historic routes that are now reawakening, being re-waymarked with pilgrim hostels along the way. Very powerful, massive, huge numbers.
Is the Budapest one the longest now?
Well, it would be the longest. There was an old route from St. Petersburg in Russia, but it's sort of now extant. It picks up itself up really in Germany now. So the longest waymarked route today would be from Budapest.
And have you written a guidebook yet from Budapest?
No, I haven't.
Is that your next assignment?
Well, I think that's somebody else's job. That's somebody else. We'll no doubt we'll take that one on. But the books are published in Hungarian. The guidebooks to the, you know, these other guidebooks have been published in Hungarian.
What's your view on this increase in numbers? Because it's also brought a commercialization of the Camino.
Yes, that is true. But that commercialization was also there in the medieval period. I remember going out to visiting a wonderful woman who runs her family, a third generation, facilitating pilgrims on the way just outside Pamplona, Marie Roncal, and her family took a year off in all these generations to just rest. And I remember visiting her that year, and she said, no, even in the medieval period, the monasteries were full, so they had to go to local inns. There was always a commercial reality, and there were always people saying, hey, you know, you don't want to stay in the monastery, come to our hostel, we'll give you decent, better food or whatever or whatnot, although by all accounts the monasteries and the refectories had great food. But there was a commercial reality back, there was always a commercial reality.
But is it over-commercialized today?
I there was a time when I thought yes, but actually I don't believe that is so. What the Camino, what the popular route now does is it's a very safe place for people to travel on their own. Whether you're like my daughter, age 20, she went on the route. I'm very happy for anybody to go. It's probably the safest place you could ever walk. Because it's this community of people who are always looking out for you. So it does give people a sense of what the Camino was about. It gives them time without having to worry, be concerned about themselves and their safety, that would then allow them, if they wanted a more reflective time or to deepen that journey, to maybe choose one of the other routes subsequently. But I don't think it has. It's horses for courses, and of course the whole point about finding a deeper connection with our life and our life's purpose is to have that be part of the commercial reality. We can't be separated out. Part of the problem is it's no longer a question of do you go to the monastery or do you work in commercial. It's how can you bring that spiritual life into your business life and vice versa, and how to meld these two together. So I think it's fine. I will say that having even known it in those precious earlier days.
What is the role of the companies like Follow the Camino, who organize a lot for you if you want it?
Well, there are, for many different reasons, there are people who will want to be held and nurtured, who maybe don't believe that the Camino can be, you know, fully supportive in that way, or indeed who need practical help, like they are not able for whatever reason, or don't desire or wish to carry their own backpacks. So they can avail of these companies, which are totally legitimate, to allow people to have a more relaxing, to be guided, and so that's they form a very valuable function for people who want that type of facility.
So you welcome a degree of support and infrastructure for people?
I welcome everybody.
Just as your guidebook is?
Precisely. So we're all different, we all have a different reason for going, and everybody has a legitimate place to play, a part to play in the unfolding, which is still unfolding, the unfolding of the Camino de Santiago.
I've heard you say that St. James always appears at some point, and particularly when you get lost. Can you illustrate that?
Well, yes. I mean, I part of the what happens along the Camino, in my experience and the experience of most of the people I speak to, is there will always come a time where we're tested. And somehow, something always happens in those places. Some of the most powerful times people have is when they are lost. And they suddenly find, in the lostness, they find something that they didn't know they had lost. They found a deeper lostness out of which something else emerged. So we have people call it whatever. Yes, St. James appears to help people in those moments. If we're open for help, it's always there. The moment we place our feet on a spiritual path and ask for help, help is always available. The trick is to be ready for the answer, because it doesn't often come, or usually come, in the form that we might expect it.
And I think this is why you use sometimes the phrase sheer magic to describe what happens.
Correct. In those moments, that sheer magic happens, the miracle happens. And I remember getting a call from a pilgrim last, who happened to have my phone number. It was quite extraordinary. I'm not inviting people to phone me when they get lost on the Camino. My days would be very busy. But she did, and I said, don't worry, breathe. And I said, any moment now, somebody will appear. And before the conversation ended, I was back in England, she was in Portugal. Somebody said, oh, I see, oh, Bettina's there, my heavens, ah. She'd found an old friend from days before who suddenly appeared in her lostness. She hadn't, prior to that, really believed that that would happen. But in the reassurance, in the relaxation, there. That's the miracle that happens.